Maybe you're traveling here and you're visiting with us. Thanks for doing that today. If you wouldn't mind, turn in a Bible. It can be your own or it can be the one in front of you in the pew there, to Matthew chapter 7. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount for a little while, and today we're in chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. If you are using the Bible in front of you, that's found on page 812. And what Chip said is true about that last song. There's something about praying through song, particularly with those words of, Lord, really work. We want not only to hear, we want you to transform our lives by the renewing of our minds. And I pray that some of that will happen today. And this is God's word, starting in verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. They are truths unchanged since the dawn of time, as we sang just a few minutes ago. And now let that truth sink deep into our hearts. Show us truth. And most of all, show us Jesus. And by your Spirit, grow us up in his truth, your truth, the truth, that we would be able to see the counterfeit and turn away from it and turn to following hard after you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that everything that we are would be about loving you and serving you and giving you glory because you are worthy because of what you've done for us, Father, in the Lord Jesus and by your Spirit. So be glorified today in the preaching of your word and speak your truths to us by your Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. I have read that back in 2003, Robert and Angela Berry of Ohio went on a week-long vacation in Florida with their 10-year-old son. That doesn't seem like something that would be newsworthy until you find out what happened to them. After their vacation was over, they were headed back, but before they left the hotel, a young girl showed up at their hotel room and gave their son a teddy bear. Innocent little teddy bear. At the Orlando International Airport, they had to put everything through the X-ray machine, and turns out there was something inside that teddy bear. It was a loaded 22 caliber gun, handgun, that was stuffed somehow inside the bear. TSA James Loy is quoted as saying, "At first glance, the bear seemed harmless, but it clearly posed a danger, not only to the boy, but to the other passengers. And it's an excellent example of our need to screen all travelers and their belongings, regardless of their experience." It's a scary thought, isn't it? Some child giving another child a teddy bear, and inside that teddy bear is a deadly weapon that could have hurt the boy, his family, others. And this is what Jesus is talking about today. Not teddy bears, not guns, pistols, handguns. No, he's talking about false prophets, false teachers. And he wants us to watch out for them. And so that's really the big picture here. He tells us, first of all, watch out for false teachers. Watch out for them. Watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false teachers. As you can see in verse 15 where he says, beware of false prophets. Now, let me pause here for a moment because some of us, when we hear the word prophet, our immediate thought, our first thing that we think of is someone who tells the future. That's how we typically think about prophets. And while in the Old Testament, prophets did have some of that foretelling about what is going on in the future, what will happen, most of their ministry had nothing to do with that. Most of their ministry as a prophet was simply speaking the truth of God to the people of God, foretelling what God's truth is. And so when we hear false prophet, don't immediately think, okay, we're talking about those guys who say there are 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come back in 1988, and well, he didn't, so that's a false prophet. Well, yes, that is a false prophet. And there are many others like him. But a false prophet isn't just someone who talks about the future. According to the scriptures, a false prophet, a false teacher, is someone who simply strays away from the gospel truth, strays away from biblical truth, and causes other people to come along with them. And it is more dangerous than a gun and a teddy bear. Now, I say this not to scare anyone and not to try to get you all hyped up on looking for false teachers. We have to obey what Jesus says. He tells us, beware of these people, because there is a real danger in following falsehood. Truth is always better than falsehood. I need to say that again. That's not a blank to fill in, but that is something that needs to be said. Truth is always better than falsehood. Whenever we believe the lie that living in a lie is good, we've already swallowed the poison. I mean, just think about it. If someone tells you that when you get to a stoplight, that a traffic light, if you see green, that means stop, and red means go, and yellow means do whatever you want, what do you think is going to happen when you obey that truth? Yeah, you're going to get in serious trouble. You're going to cause harm to yourself eventually and probably harm to other people. And that is exactly what happens when we give in to the teaching of these false teachers, these false prophets. We cause harm to ourselves and we cause harm to other people. And that's part of the reason why Jesus says we need to beware of these people. We need to watch out for them. Now, the problem is that just like that teddy bear, these people are able to sneak in to the church. They're not always readily visible. They don't wear signs that say, "Hi, my name is John and I'm a false teacher." They don't do that. And so Jesus says that we need to understand that these are people who may look like they belong to the kingdom. These people may look like they belong to the kingdom, but they are actually intruders who wreak havoc on the church. They look like me. They look like you. They look like good, upstanding people most of the time. So how do you know who these people are? We'll get to that in just a minute. But notice that that's what Jesus says here in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, and listen to how Jesus describes these people, they are ravenous wolves. As I look out among you, I don't think any of you are shepherds. I mean, not in the literal sense. You know, where you keep sheep and you hang out all day with sheep and protect sheep from wild animals. At least I don't think you are. But if we were to put ourselves in those shepherd's shoes, what a scary thought that would be. It's easy to, when you're a shepherd and you're out with sheep, it's easy to spot the wolf. But what if the wolf was really smart? What if the wolf was really crafty? What if the wolf was the kind of animal that would say, you know what? I'm going to dress up like a sheep. And I'm going to baa. And I'm going to do what sheep do. And I'm going to infiltrate that herd. And I'm going to be with them. And then when the shepherd's not looking, I'm going to have a feast. That's scary. It's frightening to think about that if you're a shepherd. And to be honest, again, not to try to cause panic or alarm, but we do need to have our radar up in the church. We need to be careful. We need to watch out. We need to beware of false prophets, people, false teachers, people who can come to the church and they look like they're godly. They look like they're following hard after God. They look like they're the right kind of person, but inwardly, they're really a hungry wolf. A wolf that hasn't eaten in weeks, and they're ready to devour. That's what we're looking out for here. That's what we have to have eyes to see. And again, it's like this teddy bear. You know, we don't want to look at anybody. We wouldn't want to look at a teddy bear and go, well, that teddy bear might have a gun in it. You know, most of us would say, that's ridiculous. And in normal life, yes, teddy bears don't have guns in them. But occasionally, something like that happens. And in the church, normally, you look at each other and I think it's fairly safe to say that most people in the church aren't false teachers. They're not false prophets. They're people who really want to know more of God through Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. They really are. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have our radar up, that we shouldn't be looking for the signs that would say that person is a false teacher. That person is really dressed up in a veneer of some kind to make us think that he fits in with us, that he really does value the kingdom, that he really does value the church, but ultimately he's really about the destruction of the church. And false teachers really can wreak havoc on the church. I mean, just in my own experience, I've met people who have left the church because of false teaching, wrong teaching. Thankfully, some of those folks have come back into the fold, into a church that is teaching the truth, and they're like, oh, this is like water in a dry and thirsty land. This is a good place for me to be. Unfortunately, others just have a bad taste in their mouth for the church, and they don't want to have anything to do with it because of false teaching. Now, how do we know? How do we know who these people are? It's one thing to say, beware, watch out for these people. It's another thing to know who they are. I mean, we shouldn't be... I can imagine if I just stop there, you know, just, okay, it's time to have the Lord's Supper and then do the benediction and we're done. If I stop there, then everybody's sort of suspicious, looking around. I wonder if that guy's a false teacher. I wonder if my Sunday school teacher is a false teacher. I wonder if Stuart is a false teacher. And so we need something other than, you know, our own imaginations to try to figure out who a false teacher is. And Jesus says in this passage, Jesus says we can spot these false teachers by their fruits. By their fruits. Notice what he says here. Verse 15, beware of false teachers, false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. And he repeats it at the end in verse 20, just in case you missed it, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And then he starts to expound upon that a bit in verse 16. He's like, when you come up to a thorn bush, do you expect to see grapes there? Of course not. When you go to a thistle bush, do you expect to see figs? No. Well, in the same way, you shouldn't expect good fruit from a false teacher. In fact, if it's a healthy tree, and here a healthy tree would be one who is grounded in the truth, one that is finds its foundation in the good soil of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. If you're a healthy tree, you're going to bear good fruit. If you're a diseased tree, you're going to bear bad fruit. And the false teachers are diseased, cancerous. The only problem with this cancer is that it's not just confined to their body, it is something that goes out to other people. They spread it like the common cold. That's scary. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. A diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. And Jesus says, thus recognize them by their fruit. So the real question we have to ask is, well, what fruit is Jesus talking about? What does he mean when he says fruit? I mean, obviously he's not talking about apples and oranges. Although, you know, pomegranates, I don't know about that kind of fruit. That's just, something's not right about that fruit. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. What he wants us to see is that there are some things that we can notice about these false teachers that will help us to recognize them. But before I tell you some of those things, and we can name more than what I have here, but you know, for the sake of time, we're just going to look at the big three, three of the big ones. But before I go there, let me say one thing. And this is going to be a hard thing for all of us. It takes time to see fruit. If you plant an apple tree in your backyard, don't expect it to immediately, right after you plant it, to see apples on your tree. It may take quite a long time. You may not even see apples in the first few years. It may even be longer. And in the same way, fruit isn't always immediately obvious. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes. But it's not always. And so when Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruit, realize that part of that is going to mean that we have to really be discerning and pay attention and actually work in our minds some, and not just, you know, well, he said something that I don't like, so he's a false teacher. I don't like that, so he's a false teacher. Now, don't do that. Maybe the reason that he said something you don't like is because he's actually a true teacher. And you just don't like it. Because our hearts go in sinful directions. But you can notice the fruit, and part of that fruit, we're going to see here in a few minutes, should be the kinds of things that eventually will show themselves. Now, first, there are several kinds of fruit that reveal a false teacher. And again, we could name more, but I'm just going to name three today. First is emphasis. emphasis. What does the false teacher emphasize? When you read the scriptures emphasize things like the glory of God. The scriptures emphasize the good news of Jesus Christ. The scriptures emphasize faith and obedience that comes, that flow from the power of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures emphasize that obedience looks like loving God and loving neighbor. What do false teachers emphasize? Oh, they may say those things. They may say all those things. But what do they really emphasize? What is on the front burner of what they talk about? Many false teachers will emphasize things that sin is not a big deal. If you ever hear someone say, sin's not really that big of a deal, and they may not say it in those words, but you start to get that kind of picture, your radar ought to go up. Now, that's not to say that if you hear a pastor say, there is no sin great enough that God's grace doesn't go wider and deeper to cover that sin in Christ. That's just the good news of the gospel. But if somebody starts saying, well, yeah, the Bible says this is sin, but hey, we're enlightened 21st century people here, and we know this isn't a big deal. Radar should go up immediately. Red light should be flashing. Another thing that false teachers do, they emphasize. Financial blessing. Financial blessing. And I realize that by going here, some of you are feel like I'm going to be attacking one of your favorite TV pastors. But there are many of those people who are false teachers because what they emphasize is your greed. What they emphasize is if you do certain things, God is going to bless you financially. You know, God may bless you financially, but He may not. And to say that there's this one-to-one correlation every single time, that no matter what you do, if you have faith, you'll get what you want. Wow. Again, alarms are to be going off when we hear that kind of phrase. Another thing that we hear emphasized by false teachers is extra-biblical revelations. Sources outside of the Bible. A true teacher is always going to focus on what the scriptures say. A false teacher may tell you, I had a dream last night that all of God's people are going to give me enough money that I'm going to have a jet. And with that jet, I'm going to do major ministry. Watch out. Watch out when you hear that kind of stuff. False teachers will emphasize things that can't be known by us. And I mentioned this earlier. I mean, how many people are out there telling us that they know that Jesus is coming at a certain time? That judgment is coming to a certain place at a certain time. I mean, even there were some who were even trying to capitalize on the recent eclipse. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but an eclipse happens almost every year or so. And that's dangerous territory. to start trying to say judgment is coming because of a natural phenomenon that happens every so many years. Again, alarms are to be going off when we hear things like that, because the scriptures clearly say we don't know the day when Jesus is returning. Jesus himself said that. And how dare anybody, how dare a teacher stand up in a pulpit or on a stage or wherever and say, I'm going to tell you when Jesus is returning. If you hear that, run the other way. It's a false teacher. Now, there are other things that false teachers emphasize that I won't go into great detail about because we've talked about them in other places. False teachers often will focus on man-made rules. You know, you are not a real Christian unless you don't drink caffeine. And I know for a fact God has blessed caffeine. It is a good thing. But there are people who will do that. There are people who will tell you that marriage is not a good thing, that food, certain foods are not good things. They emphasize these things because they are straying from the gospel. They're straying from the truth of Scripture. They're straying from Jesus. And of course, if you stray from Jesus, what you're going to emphasize? Stuff that really doesn't matter. In fact, that's what Jesus says about the scribes and the Pharisees, that they major on minors. They take what should be a secondary thing or a tertiary thing and they make it the main thing. And when you hear that, again, beware. Beware. But one last thing that I want to say before I move on to the next fruit. False teachers, false prophets will tell us what our sinful hearts want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. That's a description of what false teaching does. You have something that you really want to hear the pastor say. Something you really want to hear the preacher say. And if he doesn't say it, then you go to another one and another one and another one. Until you find one that says exactly what you want to hear. That's dangerous. Now, some of you are going, but wait a second, that's what we do when we're trying to listen to the gospel, right? Yeah, yeah, that is what we do when we want to listen to the gospel. And we need to have that kind of attitude. What we're talking about is what our sinful hearts want to hear. And if your sinful heart is never challenged by a message by a pastor, if you never have that experience where you go, well, he kind of stepped on my toes a little bit today. If you never have that moment where you go, I should repent of my sin, based on what a pastor is telling you, you might be listening to a false teacher, giving you just what you want to hear. Look, as your pastor, I take this very seriously. And there are times when it's hard for me to stand up here and tell you the truth. Because I know some of you are going to balk at it. Some of you are going to go, I don't know about that, Stuart. Some of you are going to say, couldn't you say that in a nicer way, in a kinder way, in a sweeter way? No. No. Some things just have to be said right out there. They just have to be put in your face and say, guys, beware of false teachers. Watch out for people that are like this. There is a time, yes, gently, yes. Kindly, yes. But it has to be so that you hear the truth and it actually cuts. Because the Word of God is like a two-edged sword and it cuts. And if you don't feel that cut ever, maybe you're listening to a false teacher. Second fruit that we can look for, and this is maybe one that is on one level a little easier, and on another level it takes more time, and that's character. What is the character of the false teacher? If Jesus is saying, watch out for these guys, and they're going to show who they are by their fruit, what is their character like? Is their character godly? Is their character... And I'm not just saying what they say. I mean how they live. Now, recognize that none of us are perfect. None of us live the life of a Christian that is without sin. I mean, all of us fall short. But what characterizes this person's character? Is it greed? Is it self-indulgence? Is it pride? Is it a quarrelsome nature, a divisive nature? Or is it someone who shows and demonstrates love and repentance, faith, so last week, I think it was last week, I mentioned that I was working in the yard and I wanted some Coke Zero and there wasn't any Coke Zero in the refrigerator. For those of you who remember that, how upset I got over that. And that night, someone gave me a Coke Zero, brought one to me. And then someone else brought one to me. And if you go in my office right now, you'll see a big case of Coke Zero. And I told my family about this. And the kids got a little excited. They're like, Dad, maybe what you ought to do is start naming stuff that you really want. You know, just kind of slide it in there somewhere. And my reaction was, no, of course I don't want to do that. In fact, now that makes me very cautious about what I say because I don't want that. Now, it is kind for all those of you who gave me, thank you for giving me a Coke Zero. Thank you for the case of Coke Zero. Thank you. But I don't want to use my position for my own benefit. That's what I'm trying to say here. And all pastors, that's the way it should be. Yes, you know, pay me my salary, that's fine. After that, I don't need cases of Coke Zero from you. I don't need to try to get stuff out of you. That's not what I'm here for. I am here to spend and be spent for you. And if it's the other way around, and the pastor seems to be trying to get all he can out of the church, watch out. That's a character issue. It's about self-indulgence. It's about greed. It's about pride, as if thinking, I am more important than all of you. And that's just not the case. So watch out for the character of these folks. And then third and finally on these fruit, and this is probably the harder one to recognize, but there's not only your character, there's not only your emphasis, but there's also the impact. Impact. What kind of impact does this person have on the church? Is the person encouraging you to grow in godliness, to live by faith, to trust in Jesus in hard circumstances, to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Or is he saying, you can have your best life now? You can follow your heart, and God will give you everything you really want. All you have to do is believe. Just give in to those desires that you have. And whatever they are, God will bless them. You know what kind of impact that makes on the church if you actually follow that? A lot of selfish, self-centered people. And believe me, we don't need any encouragement in that area. None of us do. So Jesus says, look out for their fruit. What do they emphasize? Do they emphasize the things that Scripture emphasizes, or do they emphasize other things? Look at their character. Do they show godly character, or are they showing something much less, sub-Christian? What's their impact? Do they encourage godliness, or do they encourage you to follow your heart? Folks, we don't need to listen to false teachers. Not just because they get it wrong and they lead to bad things for us, but in the final analysis, we can reject the teaching of these false prophets because Jesus is the perfect prophet, okay? He is the perfect prophet who not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. You want to know what truth is? You look to Jesus. You want to know what's real and what is good, what is pure, what is lovely? You look to Jesus. You want to know what's best for you? You look to Jesus. You look to what he says in his word. Here is the one who says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Not I'm trying to get everything I can out of them. Not that I'm trying to devour them and eat them up like a ravenous wolf. No, I lay down my life. I am spent for them. I pour myself out like a drink offering for them because I love them. And I tell them the truth. No matter whether it's good truth, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he's passed from death to life. Or promises, like Jesus said in John 3:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast him out. Or if it's hard truth, difficult truth, like when Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow me. But it's always, whether it's difficult truth, good truth, it's all good truth. It's all good because it comes from the perfect prophet who laid down his life and rose from the dead for us, and he speaks his word to us today through the scriptures. So this is my call to you. If you want to know the fruit of a false teacher, the best thing you can do is to look at the scriptures. To know Jesus in the scriptures. To know the real thing. And not look at the fake stuff. So let's focus. Let's focus on what we have in Christ so that what false teachers say will not captivate us. And let's pray. Father, help us to see what we have in the Lord Jesus. Help us to spot the fruit that comes from these false teachers, whether it's their emphasis, whether it is their character, whether it is their imp, or whether it's something else that wasn't mentioned today. But help us to see. But help us even more to be captivated by the good news of Christ and to see who you are, Jesus. And let this meal that we partake in now facilitate that, to grow us up in our love for you, the one who laid down his life, who shed his blood and rose from the dead, that we would have life and have it to the full. Work in us this way, we pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. With the elders.